hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my countryman, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. And they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down the key. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be warned. And you run down my country, man, you walking on the right beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me, and that's the name of this program. Here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com, well, lots more news and views for our people, and of course those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning. In the European heartland. Well, I see our Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, is off to visit Ethiopia, Senegal, and Germany later this week, and that's probably a good thing. He'll be out of the country and probably less likely to cause harm. Just a quick update on the trust fund kid, that is our Prime Minister. Today, or actually, that was, I suppose, yesterday, but he was in Toronto for part of the Chinese New Year celebrations. He went to a restaurant in, I believe it was in Scarborough, a Chinese restaurant, had some of the Chinese food, and took the opportunity to, that's right, wave a bony finger scolding Canadians again. You know, it's our fault. Always, we have a serious health problem going on. We have now, at least I'm talking about the early Sunday morning, most recent figures, and we have to assume these are true. I'm not sure they are, but at the very least, they're true. They may well be wildly under lowball, but the official word out of China now is 309 deaths in China from this corona virus, and now something like 14,200 known cases. Many other countries in the world are taking this very, very, very seriously. No, I'm not saying we're not, but okay, what's Vietnam doing? Not exactly the most technologically advanced in the world. But okay, fair enough. What's Vietnam doing? Well, Vietnam has banned all flights to and from China. Now, like, nobody's coming into Vietnam anymore from China. They're not saying, well, we're going to look for the good ones, the bad ones. No, it's just all over. The United States will no longer allow anybody in from China unless they are an American citizen or have a green card, or I believe if they have very, very close relatives. So, I mean, it's just blanket. For the very good reason that China is the epicenter and the spread has not been contained. And it's conveyed by people. People come with people who apparently get sick. They're not necessarily even immediately symptomatic. So you can't even for certain tell who's got it. So anyway, what was our prime minister doing? Well, he's up in Ottawa, in Toronto, and this is according to CTV, that's the news channel. Members of the Chinese Canadian community are speaking out against racist and xenophobic backlash against East Asian people over widespread fear of the coronavirus, reminiscent of the 2003 outbreak of a severe acute respiratory syndrome, which incidentally came from China. That was the epicenter again, for almost the same reasons as almost the same origin of the coronavirus. That's right, filthy practices in handling wild animals in open markets. Chinese at least a certain type of Chinese who really like fresh wild meat. It might be turtle or bat or rat or dog or monkey. Or civet cat or snake or whatever, and freshness is extremely important for them. And so these poor creatures are kept usually in filthy cages, sometimes stacked one upon the other in these open markets. And that is where both these viruses originated, jumping from the animal kingdom to the human kingdom. Okay. So the argument is, but you're blaming Chinese. Well, yeah. These viruses didn't come from Paraguay. No, they didn't come from Morocco. They didn't come from Britain. They came from China. Now, is it fair to blame every Chinese? Well, of course it isn't. And should every Chinese be avoided? Well, no. I think, though, before you go to large crowds of Chinese, you might wish to be a little bit careful. And, you know, if you can tell them apart, and I don't think you can, avoid people who have recently come from China, yeah. That's the problem. How can you tell? So yes, a certain degree of caution is reasonable. To run the other way if you've seen a Chinese person coming down the street, yeah, that's probably a little over the top. And to blame all Chinese for the filthy cultural practices of some, not all, but some, is not fair to blame them all. On the other hand, I think it's perfectly fair to say, well, you folks own this issue. You've got to do something about it. Anyway, what did the trust fund kid have to say? SARS killed more than 700 people worldwide in 5 months, including 44 in Toronto. So, I mean, it wasn't unreasonable to be leery of Chinese people back then. While we learned from SARS that there's no correlation between having SARS and being Chinese, there was a lot of racial profiling and racism during that time. Clinic director of the Chinese and East Asian Legal Aid Clinic, Avi Go, said. And now Abby Goes have been a big mouth for years, a real anti-white. She hooted and hollered for a compensation for the head tax for years. There's no correlation between having SARS and being Chinese. Oh, well, yeah, in a sense there was, because that's where it originated. So a certain degree of caution is in order. Members of the Chinese, Canadian, and Southeast Asian Canadian communities suffered job losses, threats of eviction, and ostracism of their businesses. Anyway, somebody else goes, oh yeah, when a disease is racialized, you need to know that the everyday racism targeted at folks is bad, and trauma and anxiety remain, said author and educator Dr. Carrie Ann Leung. During SARS, the hyper-surveillance and containment in public spaces, transit, their workplaces, schools, was terrible to live through. Well,
it is. The fear of an epidemic is terrible for everybody.
Finally, we're going to get to this story. Does not put Trudeau at the top. You might have known that it's just the story has changed as the day goes on, but I am going to get the trust fund kids' comment here. PM condemns racism. Yeah, imagine this lecturing, prattling fool. And this is from CTV News. This is remarks he delivered Saturday morning in Toronto. This is Trudeau.
I know it's been a tough start of the year for many of you. To be frank, headlines over the past weeks have been hard, and I'm sure many of you are worried about loved ones overseas. Just like here today, we need to support each other and stay united. Let me be clear. There is no place in our country for discrimination driven by fear or misinformation. This is not something Canadians will ever stand for. In difficult times, Canadians stick up for each other and lean on each other. We check in on our neighbors and take care of our friends. We stay hopeful about the future and willing to step up to the opportunities ahead. That is who we are, and that is who we will always remain.
Yeah, that gives us a good whack over the head, doesn't it? Discrimination based on fear. He's a babbling idiot. Discrimination based on fear. I mean, sometimes we do have to be fearful. No, that's not coronavirus. At least I don't think so. yes, reasonable fear is entirely healthy. Why is the United States banning almost all people from China coming into the United States for the duration? Discrimination based on fear. Yeah, justifiable fear. And that doesn't mean that every person from China has coronavirus. But until this thing can be sorted out, reasonable precautions are necessary. That's one of the reasons for quarantine. Reasonable precautions based on fear. Anyway, I suppose enough said about Trudeau, but anyway, if you want your sexual titillation. Oh, yeah. There was a tremendously interesting testimony Friday at the Harvey Weinstein trial in New York City. Now, Weinstein, of course, had been a huge Hollywood producer and mogul and so on for years. There were all sorts of charges, accusations, I should say, and several charges against him. Some of them, in some cases, the time has run out, but the statute of limitations has run out. But nonetheless, over his sexual conduct over many years, including rape. It wasn't just that he was vulgar or gross, but he allegedly raped a number of actresses and would-be actresses and women around Hollywood. Forced others to have sex with him, and it was a huge intimidating factor. He was a man who whose favor could make your career or start your career, or whose disfavor could end your career. And a lot of stories came out about this about a year ago. Well, now he faces trial. This is absolute Hollywood schmaltz. There is Harvey Weinstein looking none the better for the years, going into court, leaning on a walker. I'm not saying he doesn't need the walker, I don't know, but I would think a man of 67 normally would not. Well, anyway, there was testimony on Friday, and it'll continue on Monday, from Jessica Mann. She's apparently a sort of naive West Washington State country girl who went to Hollywood and wished to become an actress and knew Weinstein for a period of time. Now, the exact situation, you know, is going to be a cross-examiner's field day. She had sex with Weinstein on several occasions. At least two of these occasions, she accuses him of having raped her, of having forced himself upon her. Okay, then why did she continue her on-again, off-again relationship? Well, as they say in the dating pages, it's complicated. And I don't pretend to have all the answers, and perhaps she's not that credible a witness. I don't know. But anyway, for what it's worth, this is what she said on Friday. A 34-year-old, that's Jessica Mann, admitted to having a consensual relationship with Weinstein, claiming that she felt bad for him after seeing what she took to be genital deformity and scarring on his body. Now, if this is true, he is beyond a weird duck. Jaws dropped in the courtroom when she said that Weinstein didn't have testicles and appeared that he had a vagina. She also said that his hygiene was very bad. So apparently, would that mean he's a hermaphrodite? With both a penis and a vagina, but no testicles. He smelled like shit. Like poo, and he was just dirty. Now, this rings a bell, and I know. People are going to say, or some people will say, that's stereotyping. What do they love to call it if you make a criticism of a Jew, of Jews? It's an anti-Semitic trope. that means a symbol or a generalization. Never mind whether it's a trope or a trap or whatever. Only what I know is the truth. Well, accusations are certainly during the Hitler era. I know you shouldn't say anything good about that, but one of the accusations against Eastern European Jews is that they were dirty, physically dirty, didn't bathe, stank. In fact, General Patton said exactly that after he had visited some accommodations that had been set up for Jewish refugees, and he said he had never seen such filth and he was just absolutely disgusting. Now, okay, you might say, well, in the conditions of Eastern Europe or after the war, perhaps hygiene wasn't all that possible or easy. That probably wouldn't be exactly true, but okay, leave that aside. But in the case of Harvey Weinstein, a multi-millionaire financial access to just about anything he wanted, including such niceties as soap and water, showers, and a bathtub. There's no excuse on God's green earth to smell. With soap and water and deodorant, there's no excuse to stink. Filth and is today a personal choice and a bad one. I think this says an awful lot about him. She testified further, he would talk very dirty to me about fantasies and things.
and compare me to other actresses that he said were doing kinky, dirty things with him. She wept as she detailed the Weinstein, who she said didn't use a condom, had injected himself in the penis with an erectile dysfunction medication. And there's more to her testimony, but I found those details extremely interesting.
Okay, in the late hours of the evening Friday, there was a shooting, or actually a couple shootings, at a Airbnb place in downtown Toronto. Can I tell you exactly where? The police don't tell us. It's some sort of condo.
Apparently, a lot of the condo owners are renting out their units for Airbnb, and it's attracting obviously a transient and bad crowd. And I wouldn't think that most people using Airbnb would be particularly bad people. There are people traveling from city to city looking for short-term accommodation. But anyway, apparently there's been trouble in this building before. And there was particular trouble last night. When all was said and done, four people had been shot and killed, and two had been injured. And very interesting, in the initial reports, and even the chief of police was down there this morning, or I should say Saturday morning, giving us a statement. I must say, didn't tell us anything, but it was a statement. The police had apparently had sealed off several floors. There had been shootings on several floors. And, of course, although at this point they had the names of the victims, mum's the word. And here's a really interesting thing. Police were not looking for a suspect. Wait a sec. Six people injured, six people shot, four killed. They're not looking for a suspect. Well, hours and hours later tonight, the news emerged that apparently the suspect, the killer, had been himself killed. Now we actually have three names of those killed. There are, if memory serves, 19, 20, and 22 years of age. Okay, that's interesting. And we actually have the names, but nothing else. Where they're from, whether they had any criminal record, or, dare I say it, because that's what I'm getting to, their race. In recent years, who goes around shooting other people, usually of the same race, over heaven knows what, probably a drug deal gone bad, or being on the wrong turf at the wrong time, or whatever? Well, it's black and Jamaican, black and Somali gangs, if you choose to make a distinction between black and Somali. In other words, it's not random. It's not some white guys getting together to go and shoot up some blacks or any other combination. It's basically black crime. Now, is this another example of that? Don't know. We do have the names, and I would say offhand, almost for certain, one of the names is black. We may have to wait until somebody will actually put up a photograph. As usual, the police information and the press coverage is appalling. Why wouldn't they tell us when they knew last night, or in the early wee hours of the morning, where in the building, what apartment? Oh yes, and as usual, if any members of the public have any information, please come forth. Well, I don't know, Mr. Policeman or Crime Stoppers, folks. I don't know if I have any information or not. I don't even know where this thing occurred, other than downtown Toronto. Okay, I wasn't in downtown Toronto yesterday, so perhaps I don't have any information. But this absolutely cloying secrecy. For what purpose? To keep you dull and uninformed about who's committing most of these crimes. Because once you know that, the potential solutions change. Okay, so what was the big, take away from this? Well, something's got to be done about those Airbnb. Really? What? Well, there's got to be more control, or maybe there is, but or maybe there ought to be. Not a strong opinion on that, but the problem isn't Airbnb. The problem is those people who committed the crime. And, of course, there'll be, as usual, another call for a ban on guns. Yeah, or a ban on handguns. Okay, and how would that work? Let's see. These people who, let's say, were from out of town, or maybe not from out of town, would discover, your handguns are banned in Toronto. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, right. I've got this illegal handgun, fully loaded, which I don't have a permit to carry or own, but they're banned in Toronto. Okay, I'll turn it into the police. Yeah, right. A handgun ban is a non-solution. Okay, well, here's my local paper, the Hamilton Spectator. Hamilton man facing human trafficking charges. Hamilton police made an arrest following a two-month investigation into human trafficking. In December 2019, police got a tip about a 19-year-old man who allegedly persuaded a young woman into the sex trade with drugs. You need a translation here. He's a pimp, and the sex trade is, that's prostitution. The euphemisms are comical. Well, they're comical but both infuriating because they're supposed to disguise a moral question, a moral issue. Prostitution is not good, right? Being a whore is kind of immoral. Well, it doesn't sound quite so bad if you call it the sex trade. You know, that'd be like, the needle trade or the garment trade. Okay, so they found a 19-year-old. Police investigated the suspect and issued a warrant for his arrest. On January 25th, police arrested the suspect in an East End Toronto, in East End Hamilton residence. East End's a bad area of Hamilton. Police believe there may be more victims and encourage them, that's I guess the victims, to come forward. Alex Waugh, L.A., 19, from Hamilton, faces a range of charges, including robbery, trafficking in persons, material benefit trafficking, that's, living off of hills of prostitution, procuring for sexual services, advertising sexual services, and two counts of pointing a firearm. this guy's a winner. If you are a victim or have information involving this case, call Detective Constable Kudo Park. They give you the phone number. A little bit more information than usual. Maybe a little bit more information about the pimp arrested on this arm's length list of charges. Alex Law, maybe a photo might have helped. Okay,
a little less lame than most coverage of immigrant and immigration and immigrant crime. Oh yes. Holocaust memorial pelted with eggs.
Just gets better and better. This is actually a story. Ottawa vandalism. Police in Ottawa have released photos of a potential suspect in the defacement of the National Holocaust Monument. Yeah, this is an eyesore that's being built very close to the House of the Parliament buildings in Ottawa, one of the prime real estate locations, and not unlike what's gone on in Britain, where a Holocaust memorial is in the process of being built, practically right beside the Houses of Parliament. A modern-day religious shrine. I mean, that's what it is. Because this is the new religion of Holocaust. What happened? The monument was pelted with eggs in an incident reported at about 4 p.m. Wednesday. Police are investigating the apparent vandalism as a hate crime. A hate crime. Well, how do you know it's a hate crime? I mean, this whoever did it, May just have been one of these people who really ought to not go around defacing other people's property. How do we know it's hate? Deputy Chief Uday Jaiswal, yeah, he must be Indian, said at the time the National Capital Commission notified police that the monument had been pelted with eggs. This is actually a police investigation. There's lots of drugs, lots of crime up in Ottawa, but they're looking for some guy with an empty carton of eggs. Cool. Incidents such as this are deeply disturbing to many communities, especially when they target specific groups, Chief Peter Slowly said in a news release on Friday. Well, they're taking this stuff really seriously. Somebody, you know, it tells you this is like a religious shrine. They wouldn't be this serious if somebody had spray painted "fuck Christ" on a church. But this is the new religion of Holocaust, and some naughty person has gone and shown some disrespect, and the police are taking this stuff seriously. It's completely unacceptable and will not be tolerated. I always love this. In Canada is such a tolerant country, and we're always zero tolerance for this. The trust fund kid, of course, told us this morning that there is no tolerance for discrimination based on fear. Daddy, I think I'd like to swim in the Niagara River just above the falls. Oh, whatever, kid. Because I wouldn't want to discriminate against him on the basis of fear that he might get swept over the falls and killed. We live in a mad world. The two-year-old monument is a large installation a short distance west of Parliament Hill with several distinct... I can tell you about it. It commemorates the deaths of an estimated 6 million European Jews at the hands of the National Socialist Germany before and during the Second World War.
Yeah, that's a problem, though. Yeah, I'll leave aside a 6 million figure, but what is that doing at taxpayers' expense in the nation's capital? Why are we commemorating something that may or may not have happened to people who are not Canadian, perpetrated by people who are not Canadians, on soil that was not Canadian? Why? Well, no good reason. Well, I'll tell you the good reason. Because this is the new secular religion of Holocaust. And this is a shrine. Just like the Muslims have Mecca and the temple, the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem and several other places. And Christianity has important places like Calvary in Jerusalem, and places like the Vatican and shrines to the Blessed Virgin Mary in Fatima and Lourdes, etc. So does the new religion of Holocaust have its its monuments, its memorials. Jewish groups have spoken out about the defacement of the memorial just days after the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Actually, Auschwitz hadn't been liberated. The Germans abandoned it before the Soviet troops arrived. The suspect is described as a white man, 20 to 25 years old, 5'10", 5'10" to 6 feet tall. At the time, he was wearing a red jacket with a gray hoodie and dark pants and carried a black backpack. Anyone with information about the incident and the identity of the suspect is asked to call the police. Oh, yeah, okay. Rat the guy out if you know who he is. I notice that in this rather trivial crime, and I'll admit it's a crime, you shouldn't, for whatever reason, go around vandalizing something that isn't yours. I'm not even sure if tossing a few eggs at it is, the egging can be washed away very, very easily. But okay, shouldn't probably have done that, I agree. But look at all the detail. Now we have all sorts of incidents of black crime in Toronto, shootings,
And about all you will be told is the suspect is a youth, or the suspect is in his 20s. That was wearing dark clothes. The public's always asked, if you know anything, come forth and tell us. Well, how would I know anything? You haven't told me anything. Half the time, they don't even really give you the exact location. They don't tell you the names of the person, the victims, of course. No, right to privacy. Oh, I said the person's dead. and usually, what details there are of the suspects they're looking for are pretty sparse. I'll tell you why. Because they don't want you to think badly of the group that's doing most of this, so-called gang violence and shootings in Toronto. Overwhelmingly, probably almost to an incident, they're black. It's black on black. Well, that might actually make you question, how does this immigration thing work? I mean, while people are equal and all that, and multiculturalism is fantastic, something's not working well. Don't think like that. So don't tell us anything. But anyway, now when they really, 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 really want the person caught, like now, they give us everything they've got on them, even the color of his jacket, dark pants, height, and build, and sex, and color. All these things, actually, what the information that should be shared with the public, which almost never is when it's black crime. Well, anyway, stay tuned. That Ottawa police are moving heaven and earth to find the guy with an empty carton of eggs. Anyway, oh yeah, court dismisses grab her. Freedom of speech case. I better spell it out for you because this is a kind of is a sign of the times in Canada. Free speech is a great thing, you know, but not for Canadians. Grabher, that's the man's name. G-R-A-B-H-E-R. It's a German name. Now, well, Mr. Grabher had for 30 years has had a vanity license plate. You can do that in most Canadian provinces. You can get a customized license plate. Of course, there are restrictions. You can't have fuck Trudeau. Well, that wouldn't be too long fit on a license plate. But you know, I don't think you could put FK I'm not sure there should be these restrictions, but there are. Anyway, yeah, Mr. Grabber. Lauren Grabber has had a vanity license plate for over 30 years. However, in 2016, the license plate was taken back by the province and they wouldn't let him use it. He had to have something else. Because a radical feminist had complained that it promoted hatred toward women. It does, yes. It's all one word. Now, sometimes on a license plate, there'll be a pause. Like, I might have a license plate. In fact, at one point I did, FPF 100, and there's a pause. It's not all one word. FPF, those are my initials. Grabber is all one word. In normal English, if you meant, grab or clutch onto this female, there'd be a pause. There'd be a gap between grab and her. They're two different words. But anyway, this feminist or this woman, perhaps with emotional problems or whatever, said it promoted hatred. Did it? It doesn't promote hatred. In fact, it's ambiguous. Have you ever heard of directions of a square dance? Grab your partner and do-si-do and blah, blah, blah. Grab it. That doesn't mean sexually assault her. It means take her by the hand or lead her out onto the dance floor. It is ambiguous. It's not. It doesn't say, for instance, rape her. That would be fairly clear. I'm not even sure that would be hatred. It would be recommending a crime, though, and that would be illegal. But anyway, Well, he took the case to court, but he didn't win, unfortunately. Nova Scotia Supreme Court Judge Darlene Jameson has dismissed a claim by a man who says the province infringed on his freedom of expression when it revoked a license plate personalized with his surname. One grabber's plate was taken back in 2016 after this feminist complaint that promoted hatred. The judge said there's no constitutionally protected right to freedom of speech in a government-owned personalized license plate. Yeah, there is freedom of speech, but not for you, Mr. Grabber. She says the name without context can be interpreted as sexualized violence, even though it was undisputed that Grabber had not meant any harm. Yeah, he didn't mean any harm. It was his own name. He had this license plate for this personalized or vanity license plate for 30 years. Nova Scotia was not rife with people going around grabbing women. We really live in utterly repressive times, and people have to fight back. Well, this is Paul Fryer on the fighting side of me here on White Resistance Radio, and that's what we do. We fight back. I'm going to take my musical interlude right now and play some good German drinking songs for a Saturday night. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
Bye. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. Back with you again tomorrow, same time, midnight Eastern time. The show is repeated at 8 in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. All of those are Eastern Standard Time. And I sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe, the dauntless hero, came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave, our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.